third down and goal to go. Garden City, high-powered offense, undefeated, 10-0, fourth-ranked in the nation. Dixie's had some great defensive efforts in the last few ball games of the regular season. Taking a handoff, back to pass. Windsor has some time. Windsor's going to be brought down by Soma Halu and Ben Ellis. Halu stands up to take the bow. Ben Ellis, Cale DeHart, Dixie's defense rising to the occasion, and no way could Windsor get that pass away as Halu and Ellis right there. 3:18 left in the ballgame. Fourth down and goal. We've already made our selections on the players of the game, and we almost had to change them. But I don't think we're going to change, Coach. Fourth down, goal to go at the 16-yard line. You have to get the touchdown now with 3 minutes left. It's now or never for Garden City because Dixie has the potential to run the time off the clock. Two great defensive efforts. And they've got to do it again. Three receivers, one left, and nobody out there with him. Timeout by Dixie. With 2:43 left in the contest, we're going to keep it right here. 26-21, Dixie with the lead. Nobody was out with K.O. Good on the left side, and I think Greg Croshaw saw that.
That is a good timeout. There was a little bit of a breakdown there on the defensive coverage.
Now, let's talk a little bit of what caused this all of a sudden. Dixie has taken the momentum back defensively.
Well, a couple of good tackles by Ben Ellis and by
Soma Halu on that
one. Soma Halu. I mean, it's just like it's contagious. You know, the emotion gets going and people start playing more aggressively and more smarter. And that's when it's a lot of fun, Larry. We get the emotion and the adrenaline going here. But don't think it's not flowing over on the other side of the line of scrimmage either.
They've been able to move the football. They've scored twice here in the second half to take a 21-19 lead, only to have Seto Griffin make a huge play on a broken play. Mm-hmm. Get loose and get the touchdown reception to give Dixie the lead.
I think anything can happen in football. That's what drives you half crazy watching it sometimes.
Some fans standing now, more and more, and the fans are getting a little noisier as we go.
One of the first time in a couple of ball games we've seen the fans get into it so much. They were ready to go then, weren't they?
Great football game. Dixie versus Garden City. The ninth annual Dixie Rotary Bowl. Lots of smiles, lots of cheering. Lots of cheering on both sides. And if you look across at the Garden City side, all of the Kansas fans are up. No question about that. 2:43 left in the ball game. Dixie with a 26-21 lead. It's fourth down and goal to go, but Garden City has 16 yards to get
it's
there.
Interesting to see if they come with this rollout again, Larry. You know, there's a lot of options. He can either run it or throw it. It'll be interesting to see if they come with that again. It's been good to them.
Defensive team begging the fans to get the noise going. And Garden City wants timeout. They want to talk again. 2:43 left in this ballgame. We're going to keep it here, Coach. We're not going to break at all. 26-21. Now, second guesses.
I would say that, you know, their quarterback rollout again, because it's on the wide side of the field. They've got a lot of cover, a lot of field to cover by Dixie to defend that. And then stretch it out. And, you know, you might look for a weak side receiver dragging across the end zone, because, you know, he's got to throw to the end zone here.
Now, the next key. You have 2 minutes and 43 seconds left in the ball game. It isn't going to take that much time to score. If Garden City should get the 16 yards, Dixie still has a shot at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got plenty of time. There's no doubt about that, but it'd be interesting a play call here.
Garden City has to go for it. Corey Dillon standing all by himself in the middle of the field at the 25-yard line. While the rest of the team is gathered around the coach, I don't know if that's a sign that Dillon knows that he is not the man. Or if he knows where he's supposed to go, and they're just trying to reiterate it. Corey Dillon, all by himself, has had a huge, huge ball game, well over 100 yards, probably approaching 200 yards by the time we get the final statistics, because he has had some big, big games today.
No question about that. They may have, it's a lot of fun to second guess when you're up here, Larry, but, you know, halfback pass, tailback, if he can throw the ball, I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
You almost have to look for some abnormal play,
something
that you don't do much.
Maybe something they haven't used here in this ballgame.
And Coach Greg Croshaw, James Humes, Rob Carroll out waving the fans on. They know the value of having the noise. They need to have the cheering. Fans up and cheering and applauding and cheering on both sides. Fourth down, goal to go, back to pass as Windsor has his man tackle Ron Kemp at the one-yard line. Dixie takes over. Ron Kemp, the saving tackle. The pass was there to Dillon coming out of the backfield. And down is Garden City.
Well, it was interesting. They did run a backside receiver away from the strong side of the formation, Larry. They just looped Gillen right around the back, and boy, it was close. Gutsy call. Very good call.
First down and 10 for Dixie, and now it becomes critical. You have to hang on to the football. Too much time left. Dixie has 99 yards to go for the score. 26-21, Dixie has the lead, and they're inside the one. Inside the one. And you have to hang on to the football. A turnover has cost Dixie the lead in this game once. Quarterback Jamin Taylor, and there's a hole in the middle. Jamin Taylor on the quarterback keeper gets 3 quick yards. And you know they're going after the football. Clock starts with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Jamin Taylor on the run, second down. And it may yet become critical on a punting situation with Aaron MacArthur. Dixie's going to take as much time as possible on each of these. Put it at the Dixie 3-yard line. Gain of 2. Second down, 8 yards to go. At least it now gives you a little bit of breathing room back there.
That's true, Larry. Depending on what happens here, you know, I know a lot of coaches, a safety isn't a bad thing to take right now when it gets close if they don't get any first down here.
The pitch goes to Vakapuna. Big hole, Vakapuna. Vakapuna just short of the first down territory. Gets up near the 9-yard line. Pitch to Vakapuna, who grabbed it and ran.
That was a big play for this year. That was a big play for this year.
Now you have third down and short yardage. Put it at the 10-yard line. Third down and a yard to go at the Dixie 10-yard line. A minute 35 left in the ball game. Critical, critical third down play. Dixie gets the first down. They're likely to keep the football the rest of the time.
Could be, yep.
26-21. The Dixie Rebels going for the upset. By the way, in the third quarter, Trinity Valley has taken a 13-10 lead over Northeastern Oklahoma A&M for the national championship. Hand off to Vakapuna. Vakapuna, flag on the play. No whistle on the play. Flag upfield. Let's see if it's against Dixie or against Garden City. Flag way away from the action. Let's see if that's going to be against Dixie or against. It is going to be against Dixie. Three penalties, and each one of them critical. Now it's third down and 6. Third and 6. Put it back at the Dixie 5-yard line. 5-yard penalty with a minute 12 left. And now it becomes critical that you get the first down. Put it back at the 5. Third down, 6 yards to go for Dixie. A minute 2 left in the ball game, and this one still isn't over, Coach.
No, it isn't.
Not a bit. Not a bit. 57 seconds left in the game. Dixie wants to have the football as they finish the contest. Jamin Taylor, handoff to Vakapuna. Vakapuna, still on his feet, will not get the first down, but got to the 8-yard line. 43 seconds left. Fourth down. Put it at the Dixie 8-yard line, and a critical penalty. And now you have Aaron MacArthur, the punter. Or do you? Put it at the 8-yard line. Needs to get almost to the 9-yard line.
Let's see if he runs the ball down, clock down, takes a penalty, and takes a safety and kicks it out of there.
20 seconds left in the ball game. 20 seconds left, and the clock running. Dixie's going to take the 5-yard penalty. And let's see if they do take the safety. And that may be the case, where Dixie has Garden City at their mercy. There's the 5-yard penalty. With 6 seconds left in the game, can you run around for 6 seconds?
It's interesting to see what Coach Groshaw is going to do. You know, I don't know how he thinks offensively here, but if he takes the safety and kicks off from the 20, squib kick it, 6 seconds.
Put it back at the, let's see where they're going to mark it. They're going to mark it at about the 4-yard line, half the distance, fourth down, and 7 yards to go. Timeout called by Dixie, and now they want to talk about it. Let's keep it here. 6 seconds left. We were going to break for timeout. 26-25. It's down to fourth down for Dixie. 6 seconds to run off the clock, which may be too much. 26-21. And now that's the discussion right now. Jamin Taylor, probably to go back near the 1-yard line and see if he can find, I would think, go back, drop back near the goal line, see if he can find a way to get around and run around for a while, and if not, step back into the end zone.
And hope you don't fumble it while you're running around.
Exactly.
Unless things happen in football, but you know, depends on the coach's philosophy, what he thinks is the best for his team, but that's a good possibility. Take the safety, kick off the 20, squib kick it with 6 seconds to go. That's not an awful lot of time, and you know that he can run it for 3 seconds.
Penalties would be critical. Dixie, yeah. 5-yard penalty was extremely critical. It's now set them up into this situation. Dixie had a 5-yard penalty. It helped set up the first touchdown. Dixie had another penalty that made the turnover that ended up costing them the lead. Now Dixie trying to nurse this one home. 6 seconds away from the upset. And I don't think you have to consider it anything but an upset. Even though it's number 11 against number 4, Garden City undefeated. Jamin Tater pitches back to Aloha Bakapuna. Bakapuna has the first down. Down the sideline. Dixie first and 10 with 1 second left at the 18-yard line. Bakapuna looked like he was ready to take the safety, and suddenly it opened up. First and 10. Dixie has to run one play at the Dixie 18-yard line. 1 second away from victory for Dixie. Ron Kemp, one of the heroes, raises his hand high, and the sophomore, who ended up as a starter last year, made the interception that gave them the victory against Walla Walla. Upset a little bit early in the year because he did not have a chance to start much. With the penalties, with all that's taking place, Ron Kemp becoming one of the heroes today. Kemp, outstanding performance. Dixie's Jamin Tater kneels back at the 16. The game is over. Dixie has won 26-21 in one of the greatest Dixie rotary balls in history, and Garden City goes back 10-1. And what a performance by the Dixie College Rebels. One of the greatest performances we've seen, as Dixie, with 8 men suspended, 3 of them key starters, including 2 potential All-Americans, and Dixie comes up with a victory, 26-21. That's the final. We'll be back and take a look at what took place in this ball game, and talk with Coach Ray Odette, and also a visit with Coach Greg Croshaw. You're with the Dixie Rotary Bowl Network. Coach Greg Croshaw to come to our mic side here. First of all, for Dixie, they were able to get the pass interception, and the turnovers have proved to be part of the problem. Coach Ray Odette, pass interception by James Humes. He took it in the end zone. Dixie begins at their own 20-yard line, an 80-yard scoring drive that finished with 5:09 left in the first quarter of play. A 3-yard run by Afa Atuapi to get the touchdown. The point after by Lemons was blocked, and Lemons was injured on the play, and still tried to play a little bit later, but eventually was replaced as I'm not sure how serious that injury is, but Lemons ended up with staying on the sidelines. Dixie had another shot at a score early in the second quarter on a 27-yard field goal attempt, but that one went wide to the left, and I'm sure Lemons was still suffering from the effects of whatever injury he had. Another pass interception. This was the first of 2 by James Sapp. Gave Dixie the football at the Garden City 31-yard line after Sapp took it at the 47, ran it back to the 31. And from 2 yards out, Jamin Tater ran in for the touchdown to make it 12-0. The attempt for the two-point conversion, the pass fell just short, just off the fingertips of Dirk Christofferson, the tight end. And that's the way it stayed until 4:33 left in the first half of play, when Garden City, after taking the football on the punt, fair catch, began at their own 19-yard line and finished with a 3-yard touchdown run by Corey Dillon, the most valuable player for Garden City in this game. Point after was good by Ty Ross, and it was 12-7, and that's the way the half ended. The third quarter began with Dixie grabbing the football at their own 29-yard line and beginning a drive that finished with a 22-yard touchdown pass from Jamin Tater to Seto Griffin. That got Dixie on top by the 12 points again. The point after was good by Aaron MacArthur. That made it 19-7. But after Dixie held Garden City in check on one series, Garden City began another series at their own 14-yard line on their second series in the third quarter with 7:28 left in the third quarter, and finished on a fourth and goal situation as Dixie almost stopped them short of scoring territory. Fourth and goal, finished up with a 1-yard touchdown run by Corey Dillon, and Dillon once again with the score to make it 19-13. The point after by Ty Ross made it 19-14. Dixie came right back and looked like they were going to get something going, and then a fumble by Afa Atuapi with 54 seconds left in the third quarter, run back in by Jabbar Williams for a 47-yard touchdown run. A point after good by Ross, and it was 21-19. And Dixie could have died right at that point, but they got the football, began at their own 30-yard line, And on a second and fourth situation on a broken play where Jamin Tater had nobody to pass to, suddenly Seto Griffin went down the sideline, shook his defender, got towards the end zone, and the pass from Jamin Tater to Seto Griffin in the end zone. The touchdown was good. The point after was good by MacArthur, and that's the way it would end, 26-21. But it was the fourth down stand on a first and goal situation, a run by Dillon late in the ballgame. At 5:02 left, a big play that by Winter that from a fourth and four situation made a first and goal at the Dixie 9. Dillon ran for three. Then Windsor sacked. Great tackle by Ben Ellis to make it a third and goal. On a third and goal situation from the 12, another sack. This time Soma Halu starting it and Ben Ellis finishing it to take it back to the 16-yard line. And after a couple of timeouts, fourth and goal at the Dixie 16, the pass completion from Windsor to Dillon almost got the go-ahead score, but the tackle by Ron Kemp kept it away. 2:37 left in the ballgame. Dixie takes over and runs out the clock, but it got down to a critical time again. Fourth and seven with 6 seconds left, and Dixie on the run by Aloha Vakapuna got the first down, and Ben was just kneeling on one knee by Jamin Tater to finish the ballgame. Final score 26-21. We'll be back and talk with Coach Greg Croshaw after this timeout on the Dixie Rotary Bowl Network.
When it comes to your car, don't trust it to anyone but Dixieland Tire and Auto on South Bluff in St. George. At Dixieland Tire and Auto, you'll find the famous Goodyear tires that will give you that extra mileage you expect. You get the service as well as top products when you take your vehicle to Dixieland Tire and Auto. Talk to the folks there, and they'll let you take your time in deciding if you should get the job done now. Dixieland Tire and Auto on South Bluff in St. George.
Enjoy the warm, cozy feelings of Christmas at the Boulevard Home Furnishings. Find great Christmas savings store-wide, quality electronics and appliances, comfortable furnishings, and beautiful accessories. Bring home a child's 20-inch Huffy bicycle with each $3.99 purchase for only $34.95 or $44.95, limit two per customer. It's Christmas at the Boulevard. Hurry in now for great holiday savings store-wide. It's our gift to you. For your home, for the holidays, there's no place like the Boulevard.
KSGI AM and FM St. George.
Now back to the postgame show on 1450 KSGI for Dixie College Rebels football.
The Dixie Rotary Bowl. And Dixie ends up as the victor by a 26-21 margin. And Coach Greg Croshaw is with us. Coach, this may be the silliest question I've asked you yet. Is this the most satisfying victory in your career?
Well, I don't know. It's the most satisfying victory of my up to date. Saturday, December 3rd. It has to rank right up there. I mean, I think there's no question that, we kind of went into this thing feeling like a one-legged man in a fanny-kicking contest. And yet you couldn't be more proud of a bunch of kids than the way they played today and playing a team that averaged 42 points a game. And, you know, I there's so many big plays in a football game, you can't hardly tell which one's where, but there were so many, like I say, that just, I'm so proud of them, the way they bounce back. You know, we give a touchdown away on the fumble, things we've done a little bit all year occasionally, and yet bounce back. And then we turned in some big, big plays today on on things that were broken plays. Jamin scrambling, receivers running, breaking off the route and going deep, and just a great job by a bunch of guys that just couldn't be denied, and I think that's really kind of the trademark, and it is, without a question, a big, big win, without any question.
This was not a team. You were going against a 10-0 record team. This is a team that never laid down for you at all today.
Well, not at all, and you wouldn't expect that, and it was interesting because I had said that for us to have a chance, I think we needed to be close enough that either a kick or a touchdown would win it at the end, because they have not seen those type of games. You know, their closest ball game had been 18 points, and then most of them had been much more than that. In most cases, they were pretty well done by halftime, and that could be a detriment, but they handled it very, very well and came down and put the pressure on us. I thought we did a nice job taking away the pass on their behalf, probably better than anybody has done in a long time against them, but they were able to run the ball, and they certainly did a nice job of that, but we came up again with some big plays on defense and on offense on some broken plays.
Both coaches, as I talked with both you and Coach Jeff Liger prior to the ball game, both of you were saying turnovers the key in this ball game. It was last year, and it cost you. This year, it cost Garden City.
Well, you know, you say that, and I don't know how many. I know the pass interceptions, but we certainly. I think one of the biggest plays of the game came in the first series where they went. You know, we had not a very good kickoff coverage team. They did a nice job. They marched right down, and they fumble inside the 10, and we keep them off the board. I think that was big. Then, you know, nothing happens for a little while, and then we had worked on the fake punt and knew that if Cale could get through the line of scrimmage, there was nobody there, and I didn't know if he was going to make it. They had him held up pretty good, but he did finally battle his way through, and just as the rush came on Aaron McCarthy, thank goodness he's been a quarterback in the old days because he put it right on the money, and then we went down and scored, and I thought that was big. And then you start out with a blocked extra point, and then you're scuffling all day, and Moody gets hurt on that one, so now he tried to kick, but he got his back hurt quite bad, and so now we're scuffling, and then Lanny Bundy takes a dinger to the head, and he's hurt. We're going to run a fake field goal or fake extra point that we'd worked on all year, and then Lanny was unable to go back in, so now we had to bring in Jellerson to go ahead with the holding, but then the big series at the end on defense just really culminated things.
Ron Kemp, if you look at one play that's going to be the focal point, the pass completion to Corey Dillon, first time they've run it all day, and Kemp catches him at the one-yard line.
Well, lucky the field's 100 yards long and not 99, or we'd be singing a different tune here today. And they went with all the receivers to the right and the tight end, and we had Sean Meyer and Ron on the backside, and I told Ron, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you get him on the one, I didn't mean it quite that literally, but he did a nice job staying there. They swing the guy out. He made a nice solid tackle and puts us in a position to win the ball game.
Ben, we've got to ask you. fourth down, and you called for the safety.
I did. I did. We called for safety. Thought everybody knew it, and then the coaches say, hey, everybody's excited. Let's take a timeout. So we took a timeout. I said, okay, tell them to run around, hang on to the ball, but run around the end of the end zone and take a safety. And I look up, and here he comes running up the field, and I dang near had a heart attack. I mean, some guys yelling at me in the stands, take a safety, like I'm the dumbest human being on earth. And then we run the ball and get a first down. And I was going to say, hey, I called that all the way. I knew that was, but we had called a safety somewhere in excitement. Eloa got confused, I guess, because we had called what we were going to do. And thank goodness he got the first, or else, again, we could be singing another tune.
I was looking at that, and you needed to get to the 11, but it looked like when you got the pitch over there, it looked like he was looking to take the safety, and all of a sudden everything opened for him.
Well, it's a good thing it opened, because it would have closed if he hadn't have made it real quick. I looked up and thought, I thought he was going to change directions and run back the other way and run the clock out. 6 seconds, I thought, well, we could do that. You know, the other thing that people don't understand, I guess, is that if he runs the ball and he gets tackled in bounds, the clock runs out anyway. They got to unpile. So, I know it seems devastating, and it probably very well could have been, but if he runs in there, there's a good chance that the clock's going to run out because they have to unpile it and mark it ready for play before and they didn't have any timeouts. But it certainly wasn't the call we had made.
Chris Windsor, you kept him somewhat in control today.
Well, we did, and he's a great player, and I got to give him a heck of a lot of admiration. He deserved it from me. He came in here with a broken jaw. He played, he battled. I thought we put some good pressure on him. He's a big player without any question, and we were able to somewhat contain him and I think take him out of their game plan somewhat.
You're missing eight ball players, three of them critical starters, a couple of the kids played a lot this year, some others that were good on specialty teams. And yet, the kids that step in, they step in and do a great Santiago Gale to begin things right off the bat.
I don't think there's any question, Larry. And then, I'm very proud of those kids that stepped in. Vaca Puna played. I would have loved to have the other guys here, but we took care of that early, and we knew that was going to happen. And I said I wasn't going to worry about that. I was proud of the guys that weren't there. They helped us practice some. They took their punishment, and they're going to go about their business, and I hope be better people for it. But I'm extremely proud for those that stuck in there and played, and what a great way to end the season with that kind of effort.
About as dramatic as any ball game in its full history.
No question. Yeah, no question.
I got to ask you one more. Ted O'Griffin, this young man that struggled all year.
Well, he only struggled because of an injury, and I expected big things of him. I don't think there's any question this is the kind of player he is. He came on extremely strong in the New Mexico military game, and the separated wrist or dislocated wrist, and he played with a cast on, but he's a quality player, and there are several teams recruiting him, and I think somebody's going to get a jam when they get him.
Coach, I know that. I think TV's after you.
Yeah, they are.
And also the press. But you need to be congratulated. Great, great victory. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. Larry, I hate to cut you off here, but I got a lot of coaches that do a great job. The kids that have come through, I, you know, Gordon and Kelly and Brent on offense and Wade and Chris on defense helping me. And then a lot of great kids have come through this program and great fan support. I hope everybody that was here enjoyed the ball game because it was a great one, and I'm just thrilled to be part of it. I'm a guy that oftentimes gets the credit or the blame, but there's a lot of people involved, and I just like to say thank you to all of them.
Coach Greg Groshaw, the victorious coach on the 9th annual Dixie Rotary Bowl. We'll take a look at the statistical story, and also we'll take a look at the other bowl games and what we have on those. After this timeout, the final score 26-21, you're with the Dixie Rotary Bowl Network. I talked with Steve Cafusi briefly prior to the ball game, who is here. I talked with Daryl Larson, who's been playing for the University of Wisconsin, who is here. This is used as sometimes a reunion for the Dixie College football players as they get together. Many of them have had an opportunity to play in this ball game. I see Todd Shaw down there now, who's playing at SUU now and played in this ball game last year. Great performance as Dixie comes up with a 26-21 victory. Now, here's some final statistics as we look. Individually, Corey Dillon, the most valuable player for Garden City, finished with 35 carries and 179 yards and one reception for 15 yards, underline 15. It was fourth and goal at the 16. And that was the big tackle by Ron Kemp. So the leading ball carrier, 179 yards by Corey Dillon. Five receptions by Cale Good for 65 yards. Byron Beckett finished with five receptions for 60 yards. And tremendous, tremendous effort as far as Windsor went. 15 completions and 28 attempts. Good for completion percentage for 209 yards. But draw a big line around touchdown zero. Interceptions, three. Two by James Sapp, one by James Humes, and a great performance by Dixie College. Now, on the Dixie College side, here's how it went as far as the rushing. Eloa Vakapuna, 19 carries for a total of 95 yards, most of that in the second half, in relief of the suspended Archie Emerson. Afa Atuafi finished with 12 carries and 42 yards. Terrence Coleman, two carries, 14 yards, and a couple of first downs in that. Aaron MacArthur passing 1 for 1 for 27 yards. Jamin Tater 12 for 27. His percentage was not that high, but had 183 yards and two big touchdowns. Beto Griffin, 5 receptions, 93 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Ricky Ross, 2 receptions, 44 yards. Lanny Bundy, 2 receptions, 21 yards. Won a key first down for the Dixie College Rebels. Dirk Christofferson, 2 receptions for 4 yards. Cale DeHart, 1 reception, that one from Aaron MacArthur for 27 yards. And Afa Atuafi, in the beginning of the second half, had a reception for 21 yards. Tremendous, tremendous effort today. Santiago Gale, Alfred Tukuafu, Soma Helu, Ben Ellis, James Humes, you name almost all of the defensive linemen and what took place there. As far as the total team statistics, for Dixie, they had 40 rushing attempts for 157 yards. Garden City, 50 rushing attempts for 185 yards. As a team, 13 of 28 for Dixie College for 210 yards. For Garden City, 13 of 28 for 209 yards, or 15 of 28 for 209 yards. How close can you get for Garden City? 394 yards total offense. For Dixie, 367 yards total offense. 19 first downs for Dixie, 25 first downs for Garden City. Dixie penalized 4 times for 25 yards. Lost 1 fumble, and that one ended up as a score. Did not have another turnover. For Garden City, penalized 7 times for 50 yards. Won a critical penalties there, too. Lost 2 fumbles. And also had 3 pass interceptions. So turnovers 5-1. Garden City's disfavor on that, and that cost them. As far as time of possession, actually, Garden City possessed the ball more than Dixie College, and most of that in the second half, and that put pressure on the Dixie College defense. 27 minutes for Garden City, 22 minutes for Dixie College. Tremendous, tremendous effort in one of the greatest football games ever seen in this Dixie Rotary Bowl, the 9th annual Dixie Rotary Bowl. Tremendous effort, and it was a final for Dixie in their favor. Coach Ray Odette has gone to be with his family, and we appreciate him being with us today. Barbara Champion and Peter McMillan, who kept us on the air back at the station, we appreciate them. Oh, by the way, I need to run in some scores real quick. Final in the Mineral Water Bowl in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, Hines Community College came back to win 19-7 against Blinn College. So Hines will finish with only one loss on the year. And in the fourth quarter, Trinity Valley for the national championship, leading Northeastern Oklahoma A&M 14-10. And whoever wins out of that will be undefeated. College of DuPage is undefeated. Ricks College has a chance to be undefeated. They're just underway against Nassau College in Pocatello, Idaho. And Garden City will not be undefeated. They will go to 10-1, the best season ever for Garden City. Win or lose today, and they ended up on the short side of a 26-21 score, but a tremendous effort by the Garden City Bronkbusters. The Bronkbusters versus the Rebels, and the Rebels end up on top. Now, for those who are listening to KSGI, not on our on our Dixie Rotary Bowl network, a reminder, a little later this evening, scheduled at 5:30, is the basketball game between Dixie and Richfield. We may be a little later getting that one underway. And then the championship game tonight of the Dixie Center Invitational, we will bring you Dixie College basketball, Dixie versus College of Eastern Utah. Those things still taking place tonight here on KSGI if you're listening there. Now, if you're on the if you're on the Dixie Rotary Bowl network, of course you won't be getting the Dixie High and the Dixie College games, and we hope you to enjoy the rest of the programming this evening. Larry Jewell, thanking you for being with us. We appreciate our sponsors for their support of this 9th annual Dixie Rotary Bowl. 10th annual will be the first Saturday in December. Take note of that. And we do appreciate you for listening this day. Our final score once again, Dixie College with the upset, 26 to Garden City 21. Till we hear from each other again, this is Larry Jewell saying, take care now, you hear?
You've been listening to the post-game show for the Dixie College Rebels football with Larry Jewell on 1450 KSGI St. George.